The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources released a draft of a new proposed wolf management plan last week. The agency said some of the main goals of the plan are to ensure a sustainable wolf population and reduce wolf-related conflicts. The DNR is seeking public feedback and input on the draft plan for the next 60 days, and we want to hear your thoughts. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you taken a look at the new proposed wolf management plan? What's your reaction? What questions do you have about the way the state manages gray wolves? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Adrian Wideven is a retired forest wildlife biologist, chair of the Timberwolf Alliance Advisory Council, and assistant co-chair of the wildlife group for Wisconsin's Green Fire. He served on the Wolf Plan Advisory Committee and helped develop previous DNR wolf plans. Adrian, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Can you, before we get to this new plan, can you give us the state of wolf management right now? What is the current guideline, the current plan we're operating under in Wisconsin?
So the current plan we're operating on was a plan that was produced in 1999. There were some minor updates done to that plan in 2007. And there were several attempts for running from 2009 through just recently of trying to update that plan. But those efforts didn't lead to an actual new plan until the last 2 years of efforts. And now we are seeing a new plan being proposed.
Now, something that strikes me as different in this draft, I went looking for the number, and it seems like a lot of past plans or proposals have said, you know, here's our target number for the right-ish amount of gray wolves in the state. It seems like this new plan is taking a different approach. Can you talk about that?
Sure. The plan is getting away from numeric goals, and the department is doing more of that with other wildlife as well. Currently, deer management, bear management is less based on an exact numeric goal, but try to decide with the current populations on the landscape whether they need to be stabilized, whether they need to be reduced, or whether they can be allowed to increase. And the department has taken a similar approach now to wolves here as well. And in the zones where they're most suitable, in zones 1, 2, and 5, the department is going to be taking a very careful approach in allowing the population to remain at relatively stable high levels, but perhaps apply more controls in areas where there's more likely to be conflict. So it seems like a good combination.
Can you talk about the balancing act, I guess regardless of zone, but mainly in the main wolf areas in the state, between, as you said, a sustainable on the large side population and a conflict with humans in various ways?
Sure. In areas where there's good areas of wild lands, extensive public lands, wolves perform useful ecological benefits, and having a healthy, stable wolf population on landscape is very useful for those areas. In areas where you've got more highly modified landscape, where there's more cattle, more livestock, more people living, more pets, there's probably more of a risk of having a conflict. In those areas, we probably want to maintain a lower wolf population. So this plan seems to strike a good balance between allowing healthy populations to maintain on the landscape in the areas of suitable habitat, but keeping the population under more control in areas where there's more mixed habitat or less suitable habitat.
We both use the phrase balancing act here. There are going to be people... Let's start with people concerned that, hey, this plan could mean there are going to be more wolves than I want in my area. I'm worried if I'm a farmer in this area, I'm worried about livestock depredation. What would you say to reassure them that that can be managed at the sort of numbers that targets that the DNR is aiming for here?
Well, I think especially like in some of those kind of situations, it's often localized controls are going to have more of an impact than what the wolf population looks like in a large zone or across the state. So in the case of a farmer having wolf problems, the plan does allow a variety of not lethal and non-lethal techniques once they're off the endangered species list for managing problem wolves within those areas. And there are some areas of concentrated wolf depredations, wolf conflicts that are being designated for maintaining lower wolf populations in those areas. The department's had now many years of kind of following the wolf population. We kind of know the places where they're going to have problems, and those are some of the areas that have been identified to maintain lower wolf populations. But that represents a relatively small percentage of the overall wolf range in Wisconsin. So suggesting that across much of Wolf Range, their populations can probably be allowed to stabilize or maintain at near current levels. But there are some areas where we may want to have some reductions.
We're talking about gray wolves with Adrian Wideven, longtime wildlife biologist here in the state, now with the Timberwolf Alliance Advisory Council and Wisconsin's Green Fire, looking at a draft plan from the state DNR when it comes to wolf management, gray wolf management in Wisconsin. Goodbye target number on this plan. Hello to different zones around the state, balancing the needs of a sustainable wolf population with possible conflicts with humans. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see in your part of the state? Do you like the idea of trying to have larger populations where appropriate? Do you have concerns about that? Do you have questions about how all this works? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Adrian, let's take a step back now and look at the long-term trajectory of gray wolves in the state. We had 50, 60 years ago? They started moving back in gradually. Give us a little overview of the history.
Sure. So the population was mostly decimated by the end of the 1950s and were considered to be about zero by 1960, and slowly started coming back in the mid-1970s with the state and the Federal Endangered Species Act that provided protection of the Minnesota wolf population, and they started gradually spreading into the state. The Wisconsin DNR started a formal wolf monitoring program in the fall of 1979, and every year since that time have been counting wolves in the state, and that population went from the first year being counted as 25. The most recent estimate was about 972 wolves. So we've seen that population really grow over time from a population just barely making it and now a fairly healthy population that's having ecological impacts on the landscape.
One of the big questions people may be wondering about is, what about hunting wolves? And we've seen via the courts this back and forth, hunts are on, hunts are off. Where do we stand now? How difficult does that make all this for the DNR to plan if they don't know whether a hunting season is going to be allowed, required, or forbidden?
Well, the way hunting would occur in Wisconsin, wolves would have to be off the federal list of endangered species, and currently they are, again, on the federal list of endangered species. The state of Wisconsin, the legislature, has set regulations that when wolves are not on the federal or state endangered or threatened species list, the Wisconsin DNR shall hold a wolf hunting season. And that's what this plan is partially about, is kind of prescribing how those wolf hunting and trapping seasons will be done when wolves are not on the federal list of endangered species. And we expect that with the healthy wolf population in Wisconsin and adjacent areas in Michigan and Minnesota, that they will again be removed from the federal endangered species list and management will again return to the state. So we expect there will be some sort of a hunting season. But this plan does explain how that hunting will be done, the kind of goals the department is planning for the various zones, where the department is going to have very limited impacts on the population, other areas where they might have more controls on the population. And one of the things the department includes in here is having buffer zones around the Indian reservations that provide better protection for those packs living on reservation lands.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Shawano County. John, hi.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. What did you bring up, John?
Well, you guys put these out there, and people have dogs running around. I had two dogs killed. Two of my black labs killed, a female and a male, killed by wolves on the land where they put out their wolves. They just put them out there. So you're telling me this is what happens? I'm walking down the trail, doing something woods, and I'm not being attacked.
John, thanks for the call. Sorry for the loss of your dogs. John, this is a concern, Adrian, that people have about their pets, their dogs and cats in particular.
Yeah. Sorry to hear from John as well. And those kind of things do occasionally occur. Of course, wolves are not put on the landscape. Mm-hmm. They've got here on their own. But I can understand when a person's angry and frustrated that often you're going to look for somebody to take the blame for that loss. But that's a situation that occasionally occurs, and the department is working hard to kind of reduce those conflicts and identify those conflicts. if they're off the endangered species list, those wolves would be removed. Currently, the department only has authority to use lethal controls if there's any kind of a human safety situation. And sometimes when dogs are attacked, there may also be perceived a human safety situation where lethal controls would be authorized. But, yeah, there are efforts underway to try to reduce those kind of risks, and that, those are the kind of things the department wants to educate people about.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to longtime forest wildlife biologist, chair of the Timberwolf Alliance Advisory Council, Adrian Wideven, about the latest proposed wolf management plan from the Wisconsin DNR, currently in a comment period. You can comment to us at 800-642-1234. Have you dealt with and or seen gray wolves around Wisconsin? What has been your experience? What would you like to see from the DNR when it comes to managing the wolf population in our state? What questions do you have about the biology, ecology, and management of gray wolves in Wisconsin? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue this conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. We pick up our talk now with Adrian Wideven, retired forest wildlife biologist, chair of the Timberwolf Alliance Advisory Council, with us today for a look at the Wisconsin DNR's new proposed wolf management plan. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think Wisconsin should manage its gray wolf population? What do you think of this proposed plan from the DNR? If it's allowed again in Wisconsin, should wolf hunting be allowed, required? What should the limits be on that? Share your stories, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Adrian, we've talked in the past about the role that the gray wolf plays in Wisconsin's ecosystems. Can you give us a little overview of that and how it fits into this new proposal?
Sure, and that's one of the things the department really recognizes is having a healthy, sustainable population that provides ecological benefits. And we know that within forested areas, wolves can have an effect on the deer herd, less of a suppressing effect, but moving the deer herd around more, reducing over-browsing, over-grazing that we see in the middle of wolf-pack territories, a greater diversity of wildflowers, less heavy browsing on trees and shrubs, smaller trees and shrubs. We see that there's a greater diversity of greater abundance, perhaps a red fox, because the gray fox or coyotes are being suppressed. That in turn allows for the red fox having more of an impact on small mammals, which are also major seed predators that affect the trees that are growing. So there's a lot of connections in the ecosystem by the having that healthy predator, apex predator on the landscape. There's probably a reduction in the spread of chronic wasting disease and other diseases that spread through the deer herd by having a healthy wolf population.
You mentioned coyotes. Keith from Dane County couldn't stay on the line, but was curious about the interaction between wolves and coyotes. He says he's more concerned about the threat of coyotes, wondering how their paths interact.
Wolves can have kind of a suppressing effect on coyote populations. They don't eliminate coyotes because there still are healthy coyote populations close to wolf pack areas. But what we do find is the interior wolf pack areas, there's less abundance, less presence of coyotes, and that in turn then allows red fox to do better in those places because they get suppressed by the coyotes. And red fox are major predators on small mammals, which can include mammals that spread Lyme disease or affect the seedlings that will eventually become trees in a forest. So the wolves are probably having some impact on our coyote population. But coyotes are doing very well across all of Wisconsin currently.
Go back to our callers now. Sylvia is with us in Oshkosh. Sylvia, hi.
Hi. I'm just calling about that. I have 40 acres and cabins west of here near Black River Falls. I live in Oshkosh, and I've been at my cabin for too many years, probably 60 years. And in all those years, I've never been injured by a wolf. I've seen them. I've seen them in the woods. They've never come after me. I've had bear. And I guess I heard someplace that in the state of Wisconsin, nobody's ever been killed by a black bear or a wolf. So I don't know if that's true or not. But I'm more afraid of a stray dog, because when I went to school, I used to get chased every morning by dogs. So I'm not afraid of wolves. But a stray dog is too friendly. You know what I mean? They'll come up to you. And I know I've never seen any aggressive wolves on my property. I've seen them as I go back to the river when I walk, but I've only seen two come near my cabin, and one was so skinny, he looked like he was starving to death. So I don't think they get too many stray deer.
Gotcha. Sylvia, thanks for the call. Sylvia sees deer on her land. Not too worried about them, it sounds like, Adrian.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like she's too concerned about wolves. And for most people, they don't need to be that concerned. And one of the things that the department did with this plan was also do a major public attitude survey. And in that attitude survey found that majority of Wisconsinites support having wolves at current or larger population levels and at current distributions across the state. So similar to Sylvia's comments that people can live with wolves. They are not a threat to human safety. There have been very rare cases of wolves attacking on people, but as Sylvia points out, the neighbor's dog is probably much more of a risk than wolves or bears would be.
Thanks for the call, Sylvia, at 800-642-1234. Russ joins us now in Verona. Russ, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I guess I'd like to suggest that maybe we could take a more enlightened approach like they do in Europe. So instead of paying off farmers for lost livestock, they get these farmers trained herd dogs, and they protect the herd animals, the cows, the sheep, or whatever, from the wolves.
Russ, thanks for the call. Adrian, apart from just compensating for lost livestock, whether it's training the dogs or other methods, are there ways to reduce those conflicts so we don't have to pay that compensation in the first place?
Well, sure, and I think it's good having both a compensation payment program, but at the same time providing mitigations to reduce losses. And the department, through USDA Wildlife Services, does provide a lot of abatement practices. There's the USDA Wildlife Services folks spend a lot of time putting fencing around farms, putting up a flattery, a special flagging device, providing guard dogs, guard animals is frequently used, especially for sheep. Guard dogs are very effective with sheep. They're probably less effective with cattle, but various types of fencing are very useful. Flattery, some changes in animal husbandry, being able to clean up some of the carcasses of dead animals can be useful. So there are non-lethal methods that help reduce wolf depredation and reduce the need to have to pay farmers.
Thanks for that call. Talking to wildlife biologist Adrian Wideven about a new DNR proposal for gray wolf management in Wisconsin. Back to your calls. Saul is with us in Stevens Point. Saul, hi.
Yeah, hi. Just wondered if there's any transmission of CWD to wolves and or coyotes.
Oh, interesting question. Chronic wasting disease, very common in deer in Wisconsin. I was wondering about that myself. Do wolves get it?
No, there has been no evidence that chronic wasting disease spreads to any of the predators that feed or scavenge on deer. So wolves have not been involved too much in chronic wasting disease because it's pretty much out of the areas where wolves are living. But coyotes have been detected to feed on infected animals and do not catch the disease. Mountain lions have fed on infected animals, and there's no evidence of them catching the disease. So it doesn't spread into the predator population.
Thanks, Saul, for the question. Will joins us now in Eau Claire. Will, hi.
Hi, guys. Quick question. In managing wolves and determining policy, in your experience and that of other biologists and program developers, have you had any misconceptions and myths, if you will, in forming your policies, you know, that you've had to deal with, that people have had with them? So,
Adrian, myths and misconceptions you've run into about the wolves.
Well, I think there's a lot of myths that we hear of, myths such as the idea wolves are brought into Wisconsin, that wolves are going to have devastating impacts on livestock industry, that they're a threat to human safety. Those are some of the myths that we especially have to deal with. But there's also, the person talks about misconceptions and learning, and one of the things that DNR emphasizes is this an adaptive approach to wolf management, and we learn over time that things change. When I started working with wolves in the 1990s, we thought Wisconsin could hold about 150 wolves. By the late 90s, we were guessing maybe about 500 wolves. And the current estimates are the state could probably have a healthy wolf population around 1,240 wolves. So we learn more about the wolf population as we study them. And so, yeah, there are myths both on the sides of people who have misconceptions about what wolves do and biologists as they learn more about the wolf population.
Thanks for that question. In our last minute or so, Adrian, this is a proposal. A lot of work, a lot of time went into it. That's not the end of the story, right? These are not guaranteed to become policy.
That's right. I encourage people to read the Wolf Plan and contact the DNR, submit your perspectives, your ideas on how the Wolf Plan can be improved, and support those parts of the plan that you think are good. And there are a lot of good things in this plan, so I'm hoping that a lot of people do contact the DNR and let them know that there's a lot of things in this plan they would like to see formalized. So, yes, encourage folks to check into the plan and send your comments to the DNR.
Adrian, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Adrian Weidevin is a retired forest wildlife biologist, chair of the Timberwolf Alliance Advisory Council, and assistant co-chair with the Wildlife Group for Wisconsin's Green Fire. He's with us today for a close look at a new proposed gray wolf management plan. This came from the Wisconsin DNR, and as Adrian was just saying, the DNR is now in the midst of a comment period. You can give the plan a look and give the DNR your feedback. You can also check out more on that report in our news team at WPR.org.